Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
And we are off another global transmission, blasting out against tyranny worldwide, a clarion call. The 21st century Paul Revere's across the globe are riding, not for just liberty here in the United States, but 1776 freedom worldwide against the crony anti-free market globalist, the monopoly men that are waging war against every sector of free society. Well, we've got an extremely jam-packed transmission for you today. Colonel Anthony Schaefer is going to be joining us to talk about the Iran situation, the Syria situation, the Libya situation. Of course, he ran Operation Stratus Ivy and Able Danger and could have killed Osama bin Laden back in 2000, 2001 and was ordered to stand down. And it doesn't get any more high level with his intimate understanding of all this and how basically the war on terror is a fraud. He'll be joining us coming up in the second hour. And then I've seen these videos from a lady who's Syrian, young lady. She just goes by Syrian Girl so that she can protect her identity a little bit. Just to break down what's really happening in Syria, she's going to be joining us as well. In the last 20 minutes or so of the show today, I am going to air part of my speech I gave in Dallas, and then later in the week we're going to put out the Orlando speech. And the Dallas speech was powerful, but I think the Orlando was even more powerful in ways. That's at least what my crew said. And so we're going to be airing that as well on the nightly news in its entirety in a few days. And then here on the radio we'll play some snippets of that. I will, in the next few days, have a big Dave Mustaine interview for you. But we've taped part of that interview, and then we're going to tape some more with him. Really a wide-ranging interview. So that is coming up in the next few days. And we'll premiere that here on the radio / TV show, at least part of it, and then the rest of it on the nightly news. And he'll be able to clarify a lot of the things he's been talking about lately. Now, I've known Dave for years and talked to him on the phone quite a bit, you know, and in person some, but just really getting to know him. He's an amazing guy. And really a nice, you know, caring person. His wife's just a really nice person. And it's great to be able to spend some time with him. But that is a side issue. Boy, I had a wild night Saturday. Went to the show here in Austin and then driving out to my house. Later, if I have time, I'm going to tell a story getting pulled over with Dave Mustaine and his wife in the car. And then literally getting into the house 30 seconds before Coast to Coast AM called with Mr. Wells, did a great job on his show. I've been up since about 5 in the morning. I hope I did a good job on Coast to Coast covering the Breitbart situation. By the way, speaking of that, the coroner's come out and said 6 to 8 weeks, as you know, 3 days ago. But now they're saying, yeah, they're going to look at foul play. All bases will be covered. Because the coroner obviously thinks it's suspicious. That they were going to release this quote damning footage of Obama at communist meetings and palling around with known bombers and others, and that he said he was going to bring down Obama, and then you know pretty much what happened to him, saying that he was going to vet him. You'd be a fool not to question. And I saw in the, well, in Yahoo News and in British newspapers and in the Washington Times of all places, in their communities area, social journalism and independent voices, one of their columnists, it's Ask a Question of this writer is the name of the column. And they say, Breitbart murder, now pass the Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid is like being in a cult and not questioning. I mean, you're called a conspiracy theorist when you question known liars. So if that means I'm a Kool-Aid drinker, okay. Then pass the grape Kool-Aid. Because I just don't buy what I'm told. Big show coming up. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Monday, March 5th, 2012. And we're going to be here for the next 3 hours today. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer on Iran, Syria, and more is going to be joining us with the inside scoop in the next hour. Then we have a guest joining us from Syria. She just goes by Syrian Girl to give us their take on what's actually happening there. We're going to be breaking it all down today. Wow, where to start? Obama has come out and said, I will not hesitate in using force to block Iran's nuclear threat from Iran. Proxy wars are being launched against Syria, Libya. They've already overthrown Libya and Egypt. They're putting Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood in charge. They're trying to get rid of Assad and put Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood in charge on record. The West is shipping arms in on record and now admits they want to start a bombardment that they call a peace bombardment of Syria. And they'll call it humanitarian. There's been upwards of 40,000 killed in Libya. Racial cleansing going on by the Arab groups. Al-Qaeda backed against the black Libyans. All of this is going on, and we're told, oh, it's democracy, it's an uprising. That'd be like if the globalists, the UN-funded, let's say, Mexican nationals, through the La Reconquista, La Infosora movement that's funded at the university level by the big banks to create division, divide and conquer, you know, to try to overthrow the Southwest and break part of the country off. That's actually being taught, being pushed. And then Russia came over here, or China, and was bombing the United States because the government was trying to keep the union together and saying, no, this is the United States. I mean, that's the type of stuff we're talking about here. And Syria is not being attacked, and civil war is not being stirred. And they've got members of the Syrian military, of course, that have been paid off and have defected. I mean, it's a war, just like it was a war when they brought Al-Qaeda in to attack Gaddafi. I'm not a fan of Gaddafi. Rest in peace. But compared to Al-Qaeda, I mean, he was a stabilizing force. Sure, 20 years ago, you know, he was using asymmetrical warfare against the West, trying to basically use guerrilla warfare against overwhelming force. And I'm an American. I don't like that. But the point is that he was also under attack. So he was responding. And now he came in 7 years ago, did deals with the West, gave up his weapons programs, invested his money in big U.S. and European banks, hung out with presidents and prime ministers, let all the Western industry in, and they just used that to come in and infiltrate with spy organizations. So this is a serious situation. It's the same thing with Russia. I know Russia's KGB, now FSB run. I know it's got all of its own problems. I know there's election fraud classically there. But I'm not naive enough to say, oh, but that's not happening in the United States. And watch our supposed corporate media sit there and tell us that, oh, well, Russian elections are a fraud, but not ours. You know, none of that goes on here when there was clear fraud in Maine, Iowa, 100%, and 90%+, you know, proven in Nevada, South Carolina, and other areas. So now we knew this was coming. The West and the banks that have hijacked our nation and that have hijacked Europe and England are now openly with color revolution groups and George Soros organizations openly trying to overthrow Russia and cause a civil war there. And folks, the Russians have got 10,000 plus nuclear weapons. And the Russian military is not going to go along with this. The West already, back in 2008, on the day the Olympics began, NATO-backed groups out of Georgia attacked Russian-held areas of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. And our media ran a hoax saying Russia had attacked. And I went on air for the first hour or so and said, I can't believe Russia attacked these areas, just because I couldn't believe CNN would lie like that. But then it started coming out, wait a minute, NATO attacked and they slaughtered the Russians in their barracks. And then the Russians rolled in with nukes when NATO aircraft were landing with U.S. and NATO troops to fight the Russians. And the Russian chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff came out and said, okay, we've moved in intermediate nukes. We're going to fire on you. This was in European TV, on Russian TV, nothing in U.S. television. And then the Georgians pulled back, NATO pulled back. But that's how close we came to war again. The Russians did not blink. They rolled in nuclear weapons and rolled in heavy armor on record. And I've learned just from 3.5, 4 years ago, it's always a learning process. I mean, I turn on the TV at 7, 8 in the morning, and there's the president of Georgia saying we're under attack from Russia, and the news is Russian tanks are pouring in for no reason. And I, by 11, I'd heard it was conflicting reports, but I said, well, there's no way they're lying. Wow, Russia attacked Georgia. And then I looked like a fool a few hours later. It was all over the European press and everywhere. No, actually, in the middle of the night, they attacked these two areas, went into the UN zones where the Russians are at. This has been a disputed zone since the end of World War II, and just killed them. And then later, that was all confirmed, you know, in scholarly reports, and even our media about a week later had to admit it. But this is craziness. This is craziness to have this type of stuff going on. And the Russians sent mobile missile launchers, mobile medium range, you know, those big trucks with the big nukes on the back. And went on, I mean, we played the clips here, went on Russian national TV and said, we're preparing to use nuclear weapons. I mean, and they were aiming them at those bases where U.S. troops were landing. And the Russians would have pulled the trigger. Guaranteed. Nuclear war. Boom. That's how it starts. I mean, didn't Napoleon learn? Didn't Hitler learn? Just look. The Russians have got all their technology mixed with, you know, primitive dark age type stuff, medieval, and it's insanity. The top Chinese generals said 6 months ago they're preparing for war with the U.S. They've never openly talked like that. Then the president 2 months ago said we're preparing for nuclear war. This is who holds $2 trillion of our debt. This is where all our industry has been shipped with tax incentives. And the globalists are playing America off against the Chinese and the Russians. And then we all lose. We all lose. It's the bankers that are trying to lobby to take our Second Amendment. It's the globalists that are lobbying to overthrow the Bill of Rights and Constitution. It's the globalists that are the main threat. I'm not a fan of the communist Chinese. I hate them and constantly talk about how horrible they are. And the bankers are in bed with them at a certain level, but they all stab each other in the back. I don't like the stuff Russia does, killing journalists and all the rest of it. But the point is, Russia's not over here. Russia's not signing the NDAA. Russia's not launching wars without congressional approval. Russia's not shipping guns into Mexico to blame my Second Amendment and your Second Amendment. And again, George Soros, who funds all these color revolutions all around Russia, trying to... And then NATO comes in and moves weapons in to try to start a new war with Russia. And now this same guy trying to overthrow my country with a fake socialist revolution is trying to overthrow Russia. And that's in the news today. And so this is going to get the Russians completely into an offensive stance via defense against the West. And the truth is, Russia's gotten away from the New World Order. It's its own criminal enterprise, all these governments. Iran's its own criminal enterprise. See, people seem to think, well, is it Russia good, America bad, or is it America good, Russia bad? Or is it Iran good, America bad, or Iran good, America, you know, Israel, all this. It's kleptocracies. It's corrupt governments all use the same tricks. Governments are corrupt about 99% of the time historically. Read what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson said. Read what Machiavelli wrote in 2 books 500 years ago in Italy, or in one of the provinces, of one of the city-states that is now Italy today. The point is that I understand how these powerful forces, these banks that create the money and now pretty much rule the world, are playing us off against each other. We'll all go in debt to fight with each other. Russia, as it's being attacked politically and militarily, will use that to take liberties. Iran, as it's being attacked by the globalists, will use that to take liberties and dig in deeper. The West, while it's in these cold wars and hot wars and economic currency wars with these other countries, that'll be used to take more liberties. Don't you get it? whether it's Israel, whether it's Iran, whether it's China, the United States, Canada, all these governments and government class and the mega corporations and insider monopoly men that control governments, they stand to gain from war and crisis and terrorism. I've always explained that the Muslim extremist, there are Muslim extremists who hate America and hate Christians and all this, but that's a minority. And then when you go research them, they're the ones funded by the globalist on record every time. And the government lets them come in, but then Europeans and people that want to immigrate here, it's almost impossible to even get a visa to come work here. Because it's all part of the Balkanization. This is the globalist great game of divide and conquer. It's what the Roman Empire used. Then through the Dark Ages, the Venetians kept that system. After Rome fell, went into the Byzantine Empire, was picked up later in France, and then it moved to England. And it's a management system developed by the Romans over the 300-year-plus history. Well, I mean, you've got the beginning of Rome going on for a couple hundred years, and you've got the, you know, it's real rise for a few hundred years, and then the slow disintegration that took 300 years. But I mean, technically, you could say the Roman Empire, Roman system went on for 600 years, and it came out of Greek systems. But and so early on, it was Spartan and extremely moral. And then you saw what it degenerated into. The popularized image of Rome is what it degenerated into, not what it was. It was Spartan. It was like a Spartan graft into that area. All right, we're going to come right back and get into news off the chart. There have been federal rulings that tie right into the NDAA. Hardcore news on Iran. So much. I will cover it all straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com. We got surprises, too, coming up. By the way, later in the broadcast, we're going to have an article about this at InfoWars.com. Auxiliary reporter of InfoWars. Their YouTube channel is called Austin Streets. We're going to get this video up on InfoWars.com very soon. An auxiliary reporter who I gave some video cameras to a few years ago because he and his wife were literally homeless living on the street, and now they've gotten jobs and gotten back on their feet. But they were listeners, and they came out to some events, so I gave them some cameras. And they shot at the Austin Kite Festival yesterday that I almost went to. The military, National Guard out there loading children onto buses and running security. Now, they've got MPs in San Antonio now at the Riverwalk. I have seen it myself. They are doing crowd control. This is just all part of total acclimation to have military on the streets of America. And it's an admitted Pentagon program to put military on the streets, again, which is illegal, which means our country is basically being occupied. And they have these acclimation exercises to get you ready for martial law going on everywhere. And next, after they show up at events, and there's the helicopters flying over, it's all part of conditioning. Next, they will start bag searching. I mean, I get reports every week where Alabama, Tennessee, California, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Vermont, I mean, they're all over YouTube, where people go to a high school basketball game and there's Marines with guns searching the kids, regular Marines. There's news articles. I've had state reps on in Tennessee. You pull up, there's regular Marines, regular Army, TSA commanding them, state police barking at people, pulling people out of cars. It's all just martial law. That's what TSA at the airport grabbing your genitals is. And if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, I just showed some of that video. Devastating. So I'm getting a hold of Paul Watson right now, and he does great boil-down articles. I won't just show you this. I'm going to show you the Washington Post 8 years ago saying, during attacks, your children will be taken from the public schools. You'll be made to turn your guns in and come to a FEMA camp to get them. I knew about this because listeners in Missouri in the Ozarks sent us footage of the Army taking kids to a FEMA camp as part of a drill with the kids' hands up being loaded. And then last year, we went to Denver during an urban warfare drill, not knowing what we'd see. And it shows the kids being taken from public schools to the sports stadium. The Army, FEMA, everybody. So see, we won't just show you this latest thing in Austin. We'll give you background, integrated, full spectrum analysis. In fact, I want to call Watson right now. McBreen, right before the show, showed me the video, and I was watching it again during the break. It's pure evil. And again, whenever I talk about it, I'm going to be the bad guy. He goes, I said there'd be military on the streets. It happened. I said they'd get rid of Posse Comitatus. It happened. I said they'd pass laws that could secretly disappear you. It happened. I said they'd announce a global bank of the world to fix a currency derivatives crisis 13, 14 years ago. By 2012, happened exactly as I said. I broke down, just hundreds of issues. I've told you exactly what's going to happen. I told you a purge would start against Republican talk show hosts. Doesn't mean they're perfect. It just means there's a purge going on. They're now trumping up stuff on Limbaugh, really going after him. New York Times and others trying to bring it down. They're blackmailing Rupert Murdoch to arrest him and his son. The Justice Department openly is saying if he doesn't just roll over and start worshiping world government, not say Rupert Murdoch's good. The point is it's factions fighting with each other. Breitbart dies. There's total demonization of Drudge going on. Dirty tricks and just insane stuff being launched against us. Just total fiction frauds from every angle. Because it's all coming down. Can you imagine out of all the hated people out there that, at least are for the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Second Amendment, I'm the most hated. Michael Savage is broadcasting from six different locations with bodyguards hiding out. That is directly from inside sources. I knew it a year ago, heard it a few months ago, heard it again. And now Savage, I can talk about it because Savage is saying, I told Breitbart to get bodyguards and watch where he goes and don't be in public without bodyguards and don't go to the same places and everything. Because, I'm not going to get into the other stuff I was told. It's too revealing about who the sources are. But this is real, okay? This is real what's going on. You think they're just going to ship guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment and then be caught in federal court shipping narcotics in? ATF, FBI, DEA, and five other agencies. This is in the federal courts. This is admitted. And when it's brought up, they declare national security. You think they've got the troops growing opium and it going from 10% of world supply to like 92% in just 10 years with the troops growing it and guarding it, and loading it on C-130s? We're not in Kansas anymore. And all of you mainline Republicans who thought you were going to play along with the New World Order, like Limbaugh, no, that's not going to happen. As this thing comes down to the line, all the old guard types who tried to play both sides, they're going to come after you. You could even try to join the New World Order now. They're going to destroy you. You better defend the Republic. Tyrannies aren't fun. Look at what happened in every other dictatorship. They go after their opposition, the powerful opposition, as soon as they take over. Do you want to be purged by Obama and the megabanks and George Soros? That right here in my own town, the state police are calling my local affiliate, trying to get us kicked off the air. Sing me a song. You're a singer. The military is at the kite festival that I've gone to many times with my children, directing people around, bossing everyone around. The next time, of course, they're going to be going for the genitals. You're like, why? Well, just even with dogs, that's the ultimate form of domination. And they're there conditioning our military, who are good men and women, to engage in these unconstitutional activities. It's all about getting the police, the military, everybody ready. I interviewed 14 years ago now. No, it was 1997, more than 14 years ago. Al A. Philippus, the chief of police of San Antonio, who had the Delta Force come in with bags of money and try to buy him off to basically have a covert military takeover of San Antonio. First, they buy off your police. Just like they take over a third world country. It's a force multiplication structure. They were buying off other city officials. Even after he said no, they brought them suitcases of cash. You know how special forces takes over a country? They're trained. They can parachute 20 of these guys in, and within 6 months, they've got an indigenous population eating out of their hand, ready to wage war. We are treated the same. And then I got contacted by... Both of these men were in military intelligence. That's why they knew what was happening. It totally freaked them out. Thomas Sanchez, the head of emergency management in Kingsville, Texas. Vietnam veteran, Army intelligence. And he knew what to say when they came to him. He said, is this part of a takeover program? And they said, yes. The president, under these presidential directives, is preparing us for martial law and taking over local government. And we want you to work with us on this. We're going to run acclimation operations. And, of course, there's mayors and sheriffs and everybody listening everywhere going, wow, I was approached years ago and made to feel special. They always tell you, you're the first town this is being done. You're special. We've got to train. We've got to get everybody ready. It's the same MO. And when I was covering this secret covert program, folks, I had the Army with firearms take our video in San Antonio. After the police chief had told them not to do it, they did it at the military base, Fort Sam Houston, the medical center then. They had Delta Force come in and blow up part of a building and all this. We're there the next day on an open base at the time, and they had guys come over with their sidearms, point them at us. Mike Hansen began to argue, so they pulled the gun out and pointed it right at him, MPs, took his video, erased it, and gave it back to us, and told us don't come back. With Delta Force guys sitting there and their handlers, older guys, like they were 45, 50, you know, laughing at us and stuff. Yeah, laugh at America. It's real funny what you do. All the narcotics trafficking, all of it. Oh, you're giving Machiavelli as your test to see if the end justifies the means. The end is not having America strong. The end is destroying America. You were lied to. You think you do evil things because you've got to be more evil than the evil guys? No, that's the devil's greatest trick. It's like the Ring of Mordor. It cannot be used for good. And, of course, that's just the weak-minded ones. They get to be part of this evil. How do you feel Delta Force murdering the people at Waco? Is that real tough? You kill some toddlers? Well, yeah, you're real men. You'll go in and put an anti-personnel mine, shape charge on top of the church records building and kill the kids inside. You know, it's an order from Janet Reno, that insane bucket of pus. This is who you've become. And the military is full of some of the best people we've got. And the question is, now the system's trying to corrupt all of them. Now the system's trying to get them all to join with this evil. And listen, I've got a message for the military and the police and everybody. This whole world government's real. The bad guys have seized the federal government. Now they're seizing the state governments. And you better make a decision which side you're going to be on right now. The world government's out in the open. The destruction of our rights is out in the open. Everything I told you so far has come true. Are you ready for the rest of it? And I'm going to tell all of the big talk show hosts and all the big libertarian type people and the neocons and the rest of it, you're not going to have a seat at the table in this new world order. People like Matt Drudge have figured that out. That's why for like 3-4 years he's covering Bilderberg, New World Order, you know, not being in public anymore. He's awake. Other people are awake. Michael Savage, love him or hate him, he knows what's going on. He's hiding out. Okay, Limbaugh, they're in the process of trying to destroy him, blowing all this stuff out of proportion right now. I told you, get ready for them to come after everybody. In fact, guys, pull it up. I forgot to tell you during the break. It was Politico, Media Matters, you said Media Matters memo leaked. And Media Matters admitted it was their memo. And they said, we're going to infiltrate alternative media, talk radio, Fox News, and our enemies list, which I'm on. They attack me every week. And we're going to infiltrate them and destroy them. We're going to destroy them. Sabotage. Sabotage. That's George Soros' group. This is a military operation. The liberal, trendy, limp-wristed, simpering NPR voice, that's a cover, folks. That's camouflage. These are hardcore commandos, basically. Okay? These people mean business. Re-education camps, everything. We've played you the internal videos of it last week. Okay? You've got to learn, folks, the really vicious people walk around like Bill Gates with lisping voices and act wimpy. That has gone on for thousands of years, folks. The guy stomping around acting tough generally is not the person you got to worry about. Okay? A shark, when it wants to attack you, comes up from the dark. It doesn't want you seeing. Yeah, just type in Media Matters memo, destroy Fox News, I think was the headline. Media Matters war against Fox. Now pull that up. And the media went with the Fox angle, but this is all Cass Sunstein. It's talk radio. It's anybody criticizing There it is. Media Matters War Against Fox. And it says in there, we're going to infiltrate from within. We're going to tear them up. What they do is, Cass Sunstein at the White House says they pose as, quote, conspiracy theorists. That means people that question known liars. And then get infights going and tell lies about people. And it just goes on. The strategy that we had towards Fox was basically a strategy of containment, said Brock, Media Matters chairman and founder and former conservative journalist, adding that the group's main aim had been to challenge the factual claims. Now scroll down, because I know it's in that article. Just print it for me. That's not the part. It's where they talk about infiltrating. Yeah, print it for me. That's good. That's the article. They can find it. Anyways, and then there's links to the memo itself. This isn't a game. These people, Obama shipped tens of thousands of firearms to Mexico to cause carnage and death, to blame the Second Amendment, and those memos are all public, to then call for a ban of all semi-auto. The Attorney General and the President are both on record in federal court filings and legislation they supported for total abolition of, quote, civilian ownership of firearms. They want total and complete gun bans. They're real. They're real. This is real revolutionaries by foreign megabanks that want to destroy this country, start a civil war, and start arresting talk show hosts. You don't think the state police, days before we went and covered their gunboats they're buying, they've been federalized basically, were calling up, harassing our affiliate, calling all their numbers, and calling different staff and people and trying to creep them out because they just decided to do it. They've been given the green light. That is a bold move. That is a bold, bold, bold illegal move. I'm telling you, they're coming after us, okay? And me, I say that's good. That means we are hurting these people. And you don't beat them by backing off and hiding. You beat them by deciding what side you're on, police, military, talk shows, everybody. This is it. The fight for America. It's happening. We might have basically a Bolshevik takeover funded by the big banks, same ones that funded the takeover of Russia. And they will use the giant hordes of people on welfare who will do anything to get those checks as their political armies and the police and the bureaucrats and everybody paid off. Half the public getting a government paycheck or one way or the other. It's on. It's on. It's on. This is it. All you military people, all you police, say you want to fight for America. The red, white, and blue. That's the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence that on all these cop shows and movies they demonize and make fun of all day. You ever notice that? All these, I mean, cops, when you're watching cop shows and the hero says, you know, forget the Constitution, I hate it, and they all have high fives and then bust the bad guy, you're being trained to hate America. You better decide now. And let me tell you, just like Russia, just like Germany, all of you, just like the communist Chinese, and every, just like Pol Pot, in every case, the group that is seen as opposition but within the power structure, when a real takeover happens, you are the number one people they're going to target. They are coming after you. You don't just think they have veterans as the number one enemy in all these secret reports we got that the media admit were real, MIAC, Homeland Security, and others. They hate police. They've got all the good cops in databases. If you're a good police officer that changes people's tires and it doesn't want a social climb and doesn't do corrupt stuff, you've been put in a file. They've assessed you. You think you're out assessing the public? You, on record, are in a file. They know you. They know your surfing habits, everything. They got a file on you. The devil, the New World Order, already knows you're the enemy. You're already under attack. They're already going to come after you if they bring this in. The only chance we've got is to stand up to this and stop playing games. Used to, I'd have to travel 100 miles to show a military takeover. Now I can drive right up the road 3 miles. They got the TSA on the streets in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. Now I was reading they're going to start coming to Austin. Everything's getting shut down except the border. They got the cops all roided up, crazed out of their minds. Oh, we're going to have a war with the American people. Ladies and gentlemen, I got more reports. Gun sales were record last year. They're now topping that record. The guns are selling out everywhere. Ammo's selling out. Everyone's buying firearms. Liberals are all waking up buying them. The globalists have to bring in tyranny, folks, because the revolution's here. The second American restoration is here. It's here. We now know that revolutionaries with big banking financing came in here and did take America over. And now America's waking up to that. And let me tell you, we are in a crisis so big, so real. I've told you over and over again, Iran is a political diversion because during a war, they can take liberties easier. War is the health of the state. They're going to use that war, the huge multi-region war that Rand Corporation called for 3 years ago, to go after their primary target, the rich West. We are the enemy. Our Magna Carta, if you're in the Commonwealths, from Australia to England, to Scotland, to Northern Ireland, if you have a history of Magna Carta, if you have what grew out of that, the flower of it, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Constitution, we're the enemy. We're the last in line. We're all that's left. You understand that? We are both the great engine of evil worldwide, but we are also the savior. It's the battle's here. The decision will be made here. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So the great evil is here. There's many other horrible evils, but the great evil's here because evil is attracted to power. Evil wants the levers of power. So the great contest over the wheel that governs the direction of our ship is happening now. And you've got to decide. You've got to decide. I'm not scared at all. I'm ready for whatever comes in this. I'm ready. Because I know that this is my destiny. This is what I'm here for. This life is short. And I want to live it to the fullest for humanity. I want to be a good person. I'm going to follow my heart that wants justice. I'm going to recognize good from evil. I've made my decision. And there's no fear. And the power of the world, the power of this system, the power of the devil, make no mistake, that's what it is broken. It's broken when you give yourself over to good, give yourself over to God. Whatever you are, atheist, agnostic, whatever you are, you're not going to find it in some establishment church. Just ask God to show you in this great time of challenge that's coming. And believe me, you'll be shown. You're on a planet in the middle of the universe, and you don't think there's things you don't see or know. You can't feel it because you've been spiritually blinded by the fake churches, by the world, by its facsimiles, by all of it. You have got to ask God to open your eyes. You can. God will not force himself on you. You have got to ask. That is a spiritual law. Like the parable of the vampire. It has to ask permission to come in. You got to let it in. It's the same thing for good. It is a decision. It is a decision that you have to make. And just commit and turn loose. That's the secret. Just turn loose. And by the way, giving yourself over to God is not becoming a slave. That's what happens when you serve the devil, Satan. It's more than that. You just surrender to the fact that's already there. And then that's where the great peace comes from. And great discernment. And I know why people serve evil. They seek power. They want to get back at people that have done them wrong. They feel weak. And I feel sorry for those that never really experience true power, true discernment. If they only knew that they are only masters of evil, and that is such a small part of the spectrum of creation and reality. It is such a shadow of creation. But because of the evil, we can recognize the good. Because of that, and I don't mean to get spiritual here. It's just that's what's in my heart. And this is a spiritual choice. Make no mistake. It is a spiritual war. The globalists print the money. They want your mind. They want your fertility destroyed. They want your power destroyed. They want to drug you and psychologically stunt you because you are beautiful and powerful and shining, and they hate it. They want to deface God's creation. They want to beguile you and stunt you because once you experience good versus evil, there is no choice. There is no debate. There is no questioning. It is a sick joke. once you experience the true power in this universe, it is a joke. And you see the blind leading the blind. You see them have no idea. They foolishly believe they have power because they understand this temporal world. They have no idea that that is only one small slice of an ocean that is limitlessly deep. Life is power. Creation is power, and it only flows from the Creator. All right, I got to get to the news here because we got a guest coming up. It is incredible information. We've got really bad news. Holder to justify killing Americans. And here's another one. Reuters, U.S. court approves warrantless searches of cell phones. I mean, it is coming down, folks. The criminals are in charge, and we've got to call them out. We got to go head on up against them. All the lasers reports. This is the Washington Post, 2003. School boosts preparedness for attack. Many anti-terror plans would stop parents from picking up their children. FEMA and the Army take you to a FEMA camp. That's 2003. Oh, here's my article. Red alert means you will be a prisoner in your home and the schools will keep you from your children, taking them to secret locations. And then we have links to in 1999 when I got videos shot by parents and secret documents in 1999. In fact, here it is. If you guys give me a document cam shot of this, this is the actual document right here. This is the Neshoba Regional School District Crisis Plan Information for Families. And this is from, this is the documents out of, this is the documents out of, 2003, but I've got the other ones in here where it was going on in 1999. You can just go and follow all the links there in the article and see all of that. But this is what's going on, okay? This is what's happening. And now they have the Army at the Kite Festival in Austin out there guarding everyone and directing everyone. And people, I was watching the video, the body language, people kind of walking up to the military like, everything's TSA now. And it's just guys in camo, the police in camo, everything merging together. And remember, I told you for years that was coming. I think I'm going to ask Colonel Schaefer about that when he comes on. Look at this. Holder to justify killing Americans on foreign soil. Obama administration firms up support for state-sponsored assassination. But they've got this new power, they say, to kill us domestically. No judge, no jury, or kidnap us. Here's the other one. Now, listen to this. You heard yesterday how out in Hawaii now they make women pump breast milk in front of them just to make sure there's not bombs. I'm not kidding. And to prove that the breast pump's a breast pump. Just all part of arbitrary harassment and humiliation. And then say, you can't go to a private place. Do it in front of everybody. And the TSA said, we're sorry for the misunderstanding. That's when that means they're going to keep doing it. We're sorry you didn't like it. They're of their father. All they do is lie. U.S. court approves wireless searches of cell phones. U.S. police can search a cell phone for its number without having a warrant. According to a federal appeals court ruling. Yeah, in Indiana, Michigan, all over the country, they pull you over now for speeding or whatever, or inspection sticker, and they just say, give me your phone. And they plug it into a machine and suck everything off of it. Photos, videos, phone numbers. And they say, well, it's like searching a notepad in your car. It's just the general area. I mean, total. There's nothing more private than your computer. That's what it is. I mean, that's North Korea. And they love it. Oh, but it's about keeping you safe, of course. Okay. Again, you say you care about America? Well, then you should be against all of this. They're getting the country ready for World War III and martial law and financial collapse during that. Officers in Indiana found a number of cell phones at the scene of a drug bust. See, it always is for drugs, but they're saying, we'll do it in your car now. And searched each phone for its telephone number. Did they search the ATF shipping cocaine in? Having the numbers allowed the government to subpoena the owners' call histories, linking them to the drug-selling scheme. And again, makes it sound reasonable, but they're saying now for the highway checkpoints. Incredible. One of the suspects who was convicted and sentenced to 10 years in prison argued on appeal that police had no right to search the phone's contents without a warrant. The U.S. And see, they used a case that they think sounds reasonable for everybody's phones now. The U.S. Court of Appeals Seventh Circuit rejected the argument on Wednesday, finding that the invasion of privacy was so slight, that the police actions did not violate the Fourth Amendment ban on unreasonable searches of your person, houses, papers, and effects. Oh, really? My papers and effects? You got to have a warrant for my papers and effects. Oh, but this is digital. It's digital now, so it doesn't count. It's written things. Okay, cops, you think the Bill of Rights is a bad idea for you and your family? Go ahead and join with evil then. Hope you enjoy it.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we are into hour number two. After this quick break, we're going to have Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer joining us. Look at this headline. TSA asks woman to prove her breast pump is real by making her pump both bottles full, they demanded, and to present it to them. And, of course, there's other cases where they make women now drink their milk in front of them to prove it's not weapons or dump it out. And it's all about the humiliation. It's all about what crazy orders can we give these people? Just like in boot camp, they give you crazy orders. And it's about, hey, follow my orders. So you pull up. There's a checkpoint. They're going to search your car. The Army's there. The Marines are there. I'm in New York, start filming troops with live ammo in their guns. They run over and cuss at me and say, turn your camera off. And I've always noticed, you know, the troops that are intelligent, they don't act like that. They're the ones that are sent overseas. It's always goonies that I run into at these things. Goonies who just are so mindless and so stupid they can hardly talk. Oh, this country is in so much trouble, folks. I hope you realize this isn't a game. This is all real. This is all happening. I got to pinch myself sometimes. It is so wild what the New World Order is doing. Courts are ruling the police can pull you over, federal court, and they have these machines where they just suck everything out of your phone in a matter of minutes. And they say, give me your phone. And then they download the full contents of it. And they just had a federal court rule, your phones can have everything taken off of them without a warrant. I mean, that's just blatant, blatant. That'd be like saying they can come to your house and take your PC. But see, the courts call it a phone and everything on it. It's a smart computer. It's going to be on the head of a pin soon. Everything linked together. Soon, nothing will be held on the computer itself. It'll all be in clouds, so you won't have a choice. And they're saying they're just going to have access to all that without warrants. They already do. They just haven't told the local police that yet. They slowly dole it out. You're going to work with the Army in a secret operation. The Army's here. They're going to dress up in your uniforms and go on raids. Oh, what are we going to raid? Oh, we're going to raid gun shops. local police with ATF and Army and Marines for 24 years. We learned in 2001, saw the documents, photos, everything. It's in Road to Tyranny. That they've had a secret program for at least 24 years, raiding gun owners, raiding farmhouses, harassing patriots with the military. We're already under martial law. I told you NORTHCOM was coming. Got that now. All of it. We are an occupied country, and it has nothing to do with fighting Al-Qaeda. It is all about going after the American people. And everything, as I've told you for 10 years, that goes on the airports is a public dog training, Pavlovian operant conditioning program, and will be everywhere. Now the TSA is certifying at public school security. You saw that in New Mexico. They won't believe it. Guys, type in TSA at New Mexico prom. And the hands go in the pants. The TSA is the master control switch. Uncertified, no constitution, no basic training, not bonded, not under the constitution, a whole separate group of drooling brown shirts who command and now train your police because the federal money comes in, your gunboats, your armored vehicles, your weapons. They take the money you seize from drug busts, goes to the feds and back to the states, and then they come and say, here are your commanders, drooling idiots. And you're like, that's crazy. Why? Stalin did it. Hitler did it. Chi-Coms did it. They always hire a drooling force to command. You understand that? This is what the New World Order wants. Its armies are drooling idiots who will stand next to radiation machines all day. The army of evil is always a bunch of idiots. You understand that? And they always command the flower of the military.
This Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is with us for the rest of the hour. He's going to be on MSNBC and RT today. So he's done a lot of new research on the Iran situation. It's continually changing very quickly. He headed up Operation Stratus Ivy. And, of course, Abel Danger, he could have been able to kill bin Laden on multiple occasions and was blocked from doing so. His book that came out last year, what Operation Darkheart, was a New York Times bestseller, but they blocked it for a while and excised a bunch of it out, basically as punishment, because a lot of what was in there that they even excised out had already been reported. It was just from eyewitness accounts, so that was a way to punish him. I've got him on about Iran, about Syria, about where all this is going, but I wanted to first, because he was on hold listening during the last short segment, the fact that everywhere I go now, there's just regular Army, Marines, National Guard searching people. At Zilker Park, you know, it's just a giant park, just random military touching people, herding children around. I've got articles here where they plan to use FEMA. Here's the Washington Post from 2003. Many anti-terror plans would stop parents from picking up children. I sent my reporters to Denver last year during a giant urban warfare terrorism drill, a tabletop exercise. And sure enough, they were practicing taking kids to the sports stadiums. Super creepy. Total acclimation for military operations. And now they've gotten rid of Posse Comitatus, basically, with this NDAA. Bruce Fein, constitutional scholar, congressional advisor, has said it is treason. Countless, Bob Barr, former congressman, former CIA, he says it's totally illegal. But we don't even need them to tell us that. This is blatant what you see in third world countries. And thank God our military has a long history of following the Bill of Rights and Constitution. We're not Venezuela or Nigeria, but they're trying their hardest. Instead, they're doing what Hitler did, the out-of-control bureaucracies are. They're creating a brown shirt. Stalin opened the prisons up and hired low-wage kind of just thugs to be his frontline goons because the history of the Russian military, who wasn't perfect, they still wouldn't do the type of purges that Lenin and then Stalin wanted. So that's what they're doing. Now, that's my view on this. The TSA is now in Dallas, sticking their hands in people's pants at the train stations and bus stations. They're now in San Antonio. They now have military police in San Antonio at the Riverwalk, where I used to go a few times a year. I was there, and I can't stand it. Looking at you, talking to you with sidearms on. I want to talk to Colonel Schaefer about this right now before we get into the huge issues with Iran and the rest of it, but clearly they're gearing up for a big war and then counterstrikes by Iran. And instead of instead of them actually going after any assets, you guaranteed it's going to be used against the American people, as the Homeland Security documents that I received from law enforcement 3 years ago that made national news show. They say the number one threat's returning veterans, gun owners, libertarians, conservatives. So that's my briefing to everybody. And I know that's a large statement, Colonel Schaefer, but I wanted to state, you know, that wider spectrum of data points to where you'd have to be blind out there if there's new listeners to not know this is crossing the Rubicon. This is third world. This is North Korea. This is scary. What do you say to all that?
I agree with you 100% regarding the Posse Comitatus issue. I'm one of the folks. I actually was in hearings in front of the House, the Senate Judiciary Committee back in 2005 on this very issue. And frankly, one of the things that held us back from doing everything we could have was Posse Comitatus. And I argue there's justification for working within the framework of Posse Comitatus, but in the case of the new NDAA, which was signed by the president at the end of December, there's no justification. And essentially, just so your audience understands what happened, the president has declared that anywhere in the world is now a battlefield. That is to say that where you're sitting this minute, where I'm sitting this minute, is technically a battle space, and therefore he has ultimate, absolute authority to do whatever the hell he wants, whenever he wants, to deem anyone a threat. And by the way, there's no oversight for how you go through a process of establishing someone's potential as a threat. And so Bruce Fein is a very close friend of mine, a constitutional scholar, who has said very clearly that there is no legal basis for the NDAA to expand those level of authorities to the president. Now, there's been two clear abuses of this so far, and frankly, it preceded the NDAA. One is the assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki and his son. They are U.S. citizens, and I don't care how you feel about them. I really don't. But the premise was, well, you know, they're bad people, so we should kill them. Wrong answer. They were bad people, and they clearly violated the U.S. law. Then bring them to justice. Justice means giving them due process.
Well, you think you'd want to get a hold of them to get the so-called intelligence, but expanding on that,
there you go.
That sets the precedent to kill anybody.
And that's my thing as an intelligence officer. I'm glad you brought it up, because I always say, you know, I am for the idea of live captures, because dead men literally don't tell any tales. So you've got to consider the intelligence value. And why they're doing that, I believe, in the case of Anwar al-Awlaki, before 9/11. And Alex, frankly, you know, that's one of the things that no one wanted to come out, that this guy had been a double, triple agent, and they were actually working with him, with the FBI.
Colonel, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your phone cut out during that key point. Go back a minute ago, back to the beginning of al-Awlaki. Start over.
Al-Awlaki was actually an asset of the FBI before 9/11. So, frankly, Alex, one of the things this administration was doing on behalf of all administrations was covering their tracks. Anwar al-Awlaki had a documented relationship with the U.S. government and the Federal Bureau of Investigation preceding. This is before 9/11. So what they were doing, Alex, was going back covering their tracks. But beyond that, they have established, my second point, a star chamber, if you will, where you now have at least 4 to 5 U.S. citizens. That is to say, people of our status, your status, my status, any status of a U.S. citizen on the kill capture list. And no one knows how they got there, why they got there, what do you do to get yourself off the list, and oh, by the way, what justifies the unilateral use of deadly force when no one can actually define what they did that was so threatening to the foundation of the Constitution that allows them to be assassinated on site. So this is where we're going with this, and I hope your audience understands this is not theoretical. This is not basically someone trying to drum up an area which, you know, that is fictional. This is truth. This is in the NDA. The language can be read by anybody. And the presidential signing statement, which he implemented, is basically he says, well, yeah, I've got this authority, but I'm not going to abuse it. And if you believe that, then you believe all the other things the president has said over the past 3 years, which have never come through. So I have a real problem with it, and your listeners should too.
Well, just going back to the issue that you raised before, but I want to flesh this out. I mean, this is illegal. Congress is supposed to authorize these military operations. And with the Libya situation and now with Syria and everything else, Congress is like, sure, we'll give you the authority. And Obama says, I don't need that, and puts out a policy statement that he gets his authority from the UN. I mean, it's bad enough for the president to say, I can do this on my own. That's obviously unconstitutional. But to say, I get my authorization from a foreign power made up of foreign governments, that right there is treason. And that's what Mr. Fine has said. That's what many other scholars have pointed out. I know you're still part of, you know, military and government think tanks and things, so it's hard for you to, you know, talk about that. But what else is it?
Correct. I mean, the president's obligation is to support and defend the Constitution. There's not a word in there about the United Nations or any of the foreign countries within our Constitution. So clearly, and again, this is why you and I have discussed this before. The whole Libya operation was illegal. No funds were ever approved for the president to use in that operation, nor was there any U.S. military authority to drop one bomb. By the definition of the president's belief in Libya, we could technically use a tactical nuclear weapon on someone and never have to go to Congress for permission by extending the logic the president used to justify the quote-unquote air campaign only. So, again, I agree with Bruce. Bruce has been on, and this is illegal. And this is not illegal in a small way. This is illegal in a very big way. And until the Congress grows a set of cojones to do something about it, you're going to continue to see this unfettered expansion of presidential authority, which I would argue, no matter who it is in the office, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter, it's illegal.
Wow. Speaking of the end of Posse Comitatus, all the things that are happening, it seems like with Obama and Congress is going along with it to a great extent, they're just going for broke to try to set precedents to be able to get away with anything. Why are they so confident? Why are they so brazen when Congress has like a 9 to 10 to 11% approval rating, depending on which poll?
Well, I don't know. This is one of those things that I think I scratch my hell. You know, I'm on the Hill quite a bit dealing with staff and members, and I scratch myself all the time looking at the fact that Congress has been literally asleep at the switch of doing its job, which is oversight. They clearly have the responsibility of the purse. Anything they decide is not in the best interest of the Constitution of those people, they can defund. And so this is one of those things that I don't understand why they don't take a very strong position on things which are obviously illegal. And even if they can't do anything about it legally at the moment, they can defund it. So, you know, it makes it more difficult, at least. And the second thing, and you probably know this, Alex, some of the folks I work with have actually sued the president over Libya. So, you know, one of the things I think the president's counting on is that even if they catch him doing something illegal, he knows he's counting on the court system being very glacial and trying to track him down and force him to follow the Constitution. So I think right now it's just a brazen attempt to continue to expand the, you know, well beyond the George Bush issues. I think it's a continued attempt to expand the authorities and ability of the executive branch to do things without any oversight.
Well, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and I know you teach right at war colleges and also teach officers, but you know, but maybe some of the audience who's new doesn't. When presidents or the head of the Roman Senate, any time in history, start declaring they have all the power, every time this happens, look out. And I haven't seen anything like this since Lincoln, and that was a domestic issue then. Lincoln wasn't siding with foreign powers. He just said, I have this power. And the courts have judged and Congress has judged it was illegal. You know, regardless of which side of that fight, you know, people are on, it was illegal according to the Constitution. But Lincoln wasn't doing it for some foreign UN. I mean, it's so amazing to see the president. And we're going to come back and get into Iran. But I want you, when we come back, just briefly to give me your take on what I just said. I mean, the president says, I can do this because the UN said so. It is just mind-boggling. His latest book is Operation Darkheart, available in bookstores everywhere, an amazing read. He's Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, and he ran the unit that could have killed bin Laden and was blocked from doing so. We'll be right back. Stay with us straight ahead. Okay, the world is going into a deep crisis.
There's a man.
The Bill of Rights and Constitution is being attacked. I want to get into Iran. I want to get into Syria, all of it, the situation with Russia, Pakistan. It's all just crazy with Colonel Tony Schaefer, best-selling book, Operation Darkheart. A really interesting fellow. Sometimes I'm out to just get him on about some of the wild things he can talk about and all the different operations he's been in. But right now, we were finishing up. If you just joined us, talking about Obama says he can launch these wars because the UN says so, but they're not wars, even though they kill 35,000, 40,000 people. And it's just, it's reaching new Orwellian proportions. We know they're funding opposition with a lot of Al-Qaeda connections in Syria. They're using Al-Qaeda groups against Iran. All of this is just getting wilder and wilder. Your points on that, Colonel?
Well, I think, you know, clearly the Middle East is a bad place. A lot of bad people live there. And I think, I mean, be very direct about this, I think we've had a White House who has been naive to think that being nice to everybody is going to be the ultimate solution of bringing things forward. With that said, at the same time, I don't believe having the hammer. I mean, someone who has a hammer, everything tends to look like a nail. So, you know, what we've got to do is actually understand what is in our U.S. best interest. And as you pointed out, I think a large part of our government's been focused really here at home on non-existing threats, which really, you know, should make everybody really worried by the fact that they're trying to establish so much authority to do domestic operations. And as we know, there's been very few instances of domestic terrorism, but most of those have been prominently happened, which were actually of terrorist trained overseas. Faisal Shahzad, Abu Mutallab, the underwear bomber, Major...
Major Hassan, all being handled by the double agent Alaki.
And yeah, so exactly. So the threats are clearly overseas, and this is one of the things the administration continues to pretend otherwise. This also goes to the heart of the Iranian policy right now. The president's speech Sunday to APEC really, to me, was a political speech. If President Obama really believed everything he said, everything he said should have been something at the forefront of his policies 3 years ago. They weren't. So now we're left with a situation where I think there's a number of folks who want to go to war. There's no doubt there's a divide within both the conservative and liberal movements about what to do about Iran. Problem is this, Alex. There's a larger picture we're not paying attention to, which is the fact that we're about to see the beginning of a Sunni-Shia Cold War. And so we're not even worried about the fact that there's larger powers, the Pakistanis, who have nuclear weapons, the Saudis, who have always wanted to have access to nuclear weapons, and now you've got the Persians in the form of the Iranians actually developing theirs. And all of this is going to play out in a very bad way unless we figure out who we need to deal with, you know, in both long-term and short-term. And linking this directly to Syria, we don't know enough about the situation to actually side with someone, and yet we're involving ourselves. Much like we did in Libya, we chose to involve ourselves without fully understanding what that involvement would be. And I would argue that the tribal situation in Libya that exists today, with the toehold of al-Qaeda doing things on the ground there, was not what we intended, and frankly, it was predicted, though. And again, we're dealing with an administration.
No, you predicted it all here on air. Do we know what happened with the 10,000 missiles and 8,000 of them being high-tech?
Well, we know some of them ended up in Algeria. They were intercepted going across the border, so we can only imagine what happened to the ones we didn't see. It's going to be like the drug problem. You know, it's not the ones you capture that you have to worry about. It's the ones that you know are out there that you have no idea where they're at. So I think we're going to see long-term ramifications far after this year.
And then when jet airliners get blown up, taken off from the airport, I'm going to lose my liberties because they put al-Qaeda in Libya and gave them all these missiles. I mean, which you see is an excuse to power grab.
Right, exactly. And so that's what we're seeing across the board. So, but with that said, though, we've got to look at the fact that the Iranians have been dealing with the North Koreans. And one of the things I think we talked about a little bit before is, look, the Iranians are just playing the same playbook as they did with the North Koreans. You know, the North Koreans did exactly what the Iranians are doing now, but the North Koreans did it back in the 90s. I actually worked operations and watched in slow motion as the then Clinton administration basically gave food to the North Koreans, did all these concessions, never received a thing back. We're in the same situation now with the Iranians, where basically there's a game of brinksmanship going on, and we continue to kind of give things away with no expectation of actually achieving victory, which I would argue kind of goes to your point, Alex. The administration really doesn't necessarily want to achieve any progress by the fact they will continue to amass, you know, power to do whatever the heck they want. And I don't think they're defining clearly what the threats are we need to be looking at and taking action against.
Well, when I see something in the Western media, I don't just believe it. But I went and looked it up, as you know, a couple months ago. I'm sure you saw it, where the head of their parliamentary section on intelligence said, we're going to attack Tel Aviv and New York if you attack us. That's a pretty reckless statement by Iran. I want to ask you about that when we get back, because they've been, I mean, as you know, pretty much just in proxy wars in the region. Why would they say that? Or was that guy speaking out of turn? What does it mean that Ahmadinejad is now losing political power in the parliament and maybe out soon? I want to discuss where you see this going, what the inside baseball is there at the Pentagon, with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer after this quick break. Please stay with us. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Okay, looking at this, we know there's been a covert war against Iran with proxy groups for at least 5 years because Bush put a policy statement out on it. It's intensified in the last year. They've been arresting U.S. citizens and others and putting them on trial to be executed who they think are spies. Iran's got its proxy groups, Hezbollah, attacking Israel. Most of the Israeli advisors, for those that weren't aware of this, the former head of Mossad and others are saying, do not attack Iran. That'll dig them in with the population that they're unpopular with now. Iran's going to attack Israel on all sides. What is the inside baseball, Colonel, on a hot war with Iran? It looks like a lot of forces are building up in the region. What are you hearing right now on this front, and how does Syria tie in? How does Russia getting more hardline? How does Pakistan? How does China? Because it looks like the battle lines are being drawn.
The Chinese and Russians have been strong advocates of both Syria and Iran for a while. And let's be brutally honest here. A lot of the technology we're worried about has come from the Chinese and Russians and some from the North Koreans. So the fact that there's cooperation, we know. The question becomes, what will come of that cooperation? And let's go to the whole idea of the Iranian government and the upcoming elections. And let me be very clear on this. The Iranians, as you know, I don't know if people understand, they're not monolithic. They don't have a single group who actually knows what they want to do. You have people who are as rational as you and I, who are at the top of the government. At the same time, you have these radicals who believe in the Tulk Imam and the whole idea that by creating chaos, they will have this religious figure reappear. So some of those folks are that radically committed to a radical course of action. But as you know, Ahmadinejad is coming up for re-election. Those elements within the government, those conservative mullahs don't like him. And so I think you're going to see a lot of things playing out. So what we need to do, Alex, frankly, to kind of cut to the chase is do everything we can to create chaos within their own ranks. Anything we can do to actually encourage democracy, encourage those groups who are for reform, who want democracy, we should do everything we can to encourage them and create their own level of chaos within the government. And let's remember, they're Persians, they're not Arabs, and they have a very proud culture who are very proud of what they accomplished over, the past 2,000 years. So we've got to look at that and use it to our advantage. With that said, they have developed a new class of nuclear weapons. There's articles out today indicating that the North Koreans have probably been paid to actually conduct deep underground nuclear research and weapon attempt, basically using nuclear weapon actual warheads, exploding underground. So I think the Iranians are further ahead than what General Clapper, the director of national intelligence, cares to admit.
All right, let me ask you this question, because I've got family and other sources years ago, like 2 years ago, saying Iran has primitive nuclear weapons but not delivery systems. But then is that internal Pentagon propaganda? I mean, I know you have a high security clearance.
I agree. No. I do. I'm one of the proponents that says that they have at least two weapons. They have no way to deliver them. And the basis for this, and you again, I would encourage your audience to go do their own due diligence. Look at what the French and Germans are reporting. There's been some reports out recently by some foreign countries other than ours who are saying, look, there's clear evidence that the North Koreans have been cooperating with the Iranians on development of nuclear systems. The question becomes, obviously, is that putting it on the warhead. The last overt North Korean blast, which occurred a couple of years ago, was a very small magnitude. Everybody's saying, it was a fizzle. No. What they were going for is miniaturization, Alex. What they're trying to do, both sides, the North Koreans and Iranians, are trying to miniaturize so they can put these things on delivery systems. So I agree with you that I think they're working right now to put these things on delivery systems, which will allow them to throw these nuclear weapons outside of their border. Right now, they cannot deliver them using modern technology. But again, simply having it does not mean that the intent to use it is there. And that's where I think the question is.
Well, let me go to this place then. What about Pakistan? Because I see that as a greater threat to everybody, that they're very unstable and have over 100 nukes and medium-range delivery systems, as you know. That's on record. They're very technologically advanced. And everything I see the Pentagon doing is further destabilizing. And I can see you saying, well, destabilize Iran so they can get, more moderates in power. But then what about Pakistan? I mean, aren't these policies actually pushing Pakistan into the arms of China?
Well, I think that we have misunderstood, to quote President Bush, we've misunderstood the Pakistanis. The Pakistanis for this entire war, Alex, have been on one side, the Pakistani side, and yet we pretended otherwise. So by the things we've done, I think have had the unintentional. I don't believe we've intentionally sought out to destabilize the Pakistanis for the very reasons you mentioned. We know they have nuclear weapons. We know they have nuclear delivery systems. But I think the unintended consequence of us forcing them to do things against their best interests, which is essentially to say, you know, we force them to take and do something against the Taliban. The Taliban are their own creation, Alex. We're trying to get them to do things which they don't want to do. And by doing that, we've created this other element of the Taliban within Pakistan, who is now working to destabilize them. So we've helped create the chaos within their system by asking to do things against their own interest, that is, the Pakistani interest. And plus, you have the Indians. So we've allowed the Indians to do a great number of things in Afghanistan. By doing that, we've then further destabilized the situation. This is a situation where we should have asked Indians to just sit it out. We don't need you there because your presence there will help destabilize things.
Well, no kidding. That's the ancestral enemy they've had all these wars with. It's crazy. I mean, come on. The Pentagon, the CIA, they've got to know that bringing the Indians in was going to turn the Pakistanis against them.
They did. And that's why you've seen the Haqqani network be so effective in retaining its ability to launch operations within Kabul and other parts of Afghanistan. And the Pakistanis are never going to give it up. So again, Alex, we've helped create and ferment the destabilization path of Pakistan by our own ham-handed way we've handled it. And this is one of those things the Pentagon, General McChrystal even said this recently in London, that we barely have a surface understanding of the cultures with which we're dealing. And so when you have policymakers with authority, with no knowledge of the culture, what you're seeing the inevitable result of this ham-handed, half-baked policy of dealing with the Pakistanis in such a way that we've destabilized the situation.
No kidding. All right, what is the inside baseball on an Iran attack? Because it looks like Obama's playing this whole peacenik angle publicly that he doesn't want war, but now after meeting with Netanyahu, he says we will take action. But from everything I've seen, it is a strategy of tension, balkanization, order out of chaos. At many levels, I don't think it's ham-fisted. Sure, mid-level, some of the bureaucrats. I mean, this larger strategy looks like it's an attempt to bring the world into turmoil so that there can be distractions from the bank looting and the rest of it. But what are you hearing on an Iran attack?
Well, they're split. I mean, clearly, let's just look at the facts here. One of the key facts, Alex, is that it would take over 300 sorties, that is 300 air missions, to just hit the known nuclear facilities, the known nuclear, and obviously we know that the Iranians have secret nuclear programs. So you know, you've got to look at that realistically. So we have folks clearly who think we could do it. We have the military capacity. I don't think the Israelis could do it without us for any number of reasons. And I think that's the big debate right now. Do we go in with them or not? Do the Israelis want to attack? There's no doubt they do. The question becomes, can they and will they? Ultimately, the other thing we have to look at here is that the Jericho 3, the Israelis' delivery system is nuclear capable. The Israelis do have nuclear weapons. And if push came to shove, obviously they do have the ability to launch nuclear weapons. Obviously, that would be something that would put the whole region in turmoil. But we don't want that. No one wants that. So the question becomes, what is the middle course which would help stabilize things and back everybody off? And that, I think, has to be one where we look at other, you know, I'm not a proponent of the negotiation. I think it's a day late, a dollar short. At the same time, I don't think we can afford to do a full-on military attack only. So there's some middle ground, and that middle ground would be, you know, the dark arts. We've got to look at how we can actually do things without actually attacking. One general I've talked to several times, Alex, about this, former Central Command commander, has said the moment a ship gets scratched going through the Straits of Hormuz by miscalculation, we're talking about $6 to $7 a gallon oil. And I think that's realistic. So, I don't think the Obama administration really wants that level of expense to interfere with.
Well, just the saber rattling's got gas prices exploding.
At the $5 or more soon, yes, absolutely. So again, I don't think it's in the administration's best interest to see that, because that will definitely hurt his reelection campaign potential. So I think if nothing else, they're going to try to keep a lid on this until after the election. So I see the administration trying to keep this padded down until we're past November, because obviously that their big objective right now is to keep oil prices not going too high, even though ultimately they want them high, but low enough that they get through the election and get reelected. And I think obviously.
Okay, so after the election, instead of an October surprise, because if they did it close enough to that, even if gas prices went up, people tend to line up and rally around a president, period, when we're in a big war. Let me expand on this. How do you expect, and what are your colleagues saying? What's the consensus, if there is one, on the Russians? Putin's been reelected, if you believe that. Their stocks have gone up. That means the hardliners are in. You've got the Chinese president saying prepare for war with the U.S. You've got the Pentagon acting like the Middle East isn't even an issue and sending all these fleets and troops to the Pacific. Why is there this realignment against Russia and China right now?
Well, first problem we have, just something to find up your audience to understand, we have no grand strategy. We have no idea what we're doing globally. We don't. And one of the things that even during the Cold War, Alex, we kind of had a strategy of how we're going to do things. We don't have that. No one has sat down and figured out how we're going to do things. All they know is they're going to cut the budget. With that said, then, we've left the door open for chaos. You have General Clapper saying one time, one thing in testimony about the Muslim Brotherhood not being a threat, being, you know, being one thing and another. At the same time, you've got the military expansion in the Pacific. So, again, I think it's almost like there's nobody really thinking things through. What is the second? We're playing checkers, not chess. So what we need to do now as a country is really force the administration, whoever's in power, trying to figure out what are we actually trying to do with our multi-billion-dollar military.
Well, that's my next question. That's what I see, is you've got all these special interests who all want different things.
Right.
And so it's like America's become this robot that's getting all these different orders and smoke's coming out of its ears. And so even though we've had a corrupt elite and problems in this country before, now I'm really starting to agree with you. And I didn't think this just a few years ago. I don't think the elites can get their act together as bad as they are. It's crazy. They've got all these weapons, all these systems. They've got level 4 bioweapons development. They're putting in level 2 facilities. I mean, it's they're crazy. They don't know what they're doing. Congress is insider trading, mistresses partying. We've had corrupt elites, but at least they were professional in the past. I think we are getting a bunch of moron, power-tripping, hubris-filled playboys, and that spells disaster. I mean, that spells war. That's because, man, I just have a bad feeling. I mean, I integrate all the info together, and my gut tells me this: we are cruising towards calamity.
I agree with you, and I think that's the problem here, Alex. We got to get our act together because you have, like you said, you have huge economic interest in the Pentagon. One of the reasons we're bogged down in Afghanistan is we know the issue is Pakistan. We know that. One of the reasons we're bogged down is because you have something called, my friend, and you probably know him, Jerry Doyle, calls it combat to commerce. You have people with huge investments in defense spending. And that's one of the reasons the Super Committee failed. Let's look back at the Super Committee. Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania and Patty Murray from Washington State both have Boeing in their districts. Do you really believe that congressmen and women are going to cut the budgets that would hurt their own constituents? There's no way. So we've allowed the system to create itself in such a way that people cover their constituents by ensuring this huge spending goes on without a real focus or purpose within the context of the spending, and we've got to get a handle on it.
Wow. What does your gut tell you right now? I mean, not making predictions, but right now, the current course we're on, 60-40, 60 for an Iran attack in the next year, or is it 60% not a war, 40%? I mean, what's your gut?
I do believe, based on anything I'm hearing and what I believe, there's a better than even chance that there will be an attack before the fall. I think it would be towards the fall, and it'll be one of those things that I think there'll be clear indications it's coming, despite the Israelis trying to hide it. I think that this is padded down probably through the summer, and something will happen this fall. Like you point out, either everybody will rally around the president because we have to fall in with the Israelis, or the gas prices will drive them out of office. It could go either way, and I think that's one of the calculations the White House will continue to try to ascertain within Poland. Again, I believe the president's speech yesterday at the AIPAC organization was purely political. It had nothing to do with the national security realities. If he really was focused on diplomacy, Alex, he should have done that 3 years ago. Instead, now we're behind the power curve, and I think it's all about political equations designed to get him through and get him reelected in November one way or another. So,
what do you think about admitted George Soros-type State Department programs to destabilize and mess around inside Russia? I mean, I don't think they're going to be successful doing that. I think they're going to completely get Russia to unify its elite in an anti-Western stance that'll probably cause more trouble down the road.
I agree with you. I mean, the Russians have their own interests. The Russians, there's an old saying back in the Cold War, the Russians used to say, what's ours is ours and what's yours is negotiable. And so, they are now reasserting themselves as a global power. We have to understand that. The more we mess around with them, I think the more we have the potential of doing bad things. Frankly, maybe we've got to look at playing the Russia card as we did during, as Nixon did with China during the Cold War.
Exactly.
And I think we need to look at how, the Russians and us have a lot of common interests if you really sit down and look at it. So I think we ought to be looking at how we can align interests together to do things to be, maybe a global ally rather than...
Can you imagine if the U.S. started becoming a partner and trading with Russia? It would be great for both economies. But again, special interests don't want that. I mean, that's what Ron Paul, people say, well, Ron Paul, he wants to be with the Muslim extremists. No, he understands this empire is on its last legs.
Right.
What's your take on Ron Paul?
I got to tell you, Alex, I said this publicly, I think his policy is the most realistic on Iran. The more we pick him, the more we poke him, the more the people will be apt to unify around the current government. We really don't want that. So I think we need to be very careful to say, look, we are against your government developing and having nuclear weapons, which could be used for purposes of creating war. At the same time, we're not against the Iranian people. So it's a tough thing to do, but we got to do that. And I think Ron Paul is right in that we need to look at how we can reach out and negotiate and be involved in trade with powers, and at the same time limit our focus of using force. I think we're too apt to use force like we did in Libya, and take a step back and figure out what is really in our interest to do. So I'm hoping that the other candidates will start listening to Paul and some of his common sense. At the same time, I think he wants to pull back too much. I think we need to maintain order. We are the big dog on the block, so to speak. I think it is our responsibility to maintain lines of communication, lines of commerce, because it is in the best interest of the world to keep that lifeblood flowing. And if we don't do it, we allow it to fall to someone else. I don't think they will be all as kind as we are. So,
well, I just think the special interests running this country have proven that they just run off to their armored, Swiss redoubts after they suck countries dry. And what do they think they're going to do after they've imploded the U.S.? I mean, they're going to bring the whole world into chaos, and it's time for the elite to realize how much danger they've put everybody, including themselves. Colonel Schaefer, a best-selling author of Operation Darkheart, of course, OperationDarkheart.com. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for having me. Great to be
on. You bet. Great to have you. All right, there goes Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. Really intelligent, informed guy on a wide spectrum of issues. I'll hit some other news. Then we've got a guest joining us from Syria. That Syrian girl, we'll just leave her at that. Very interesting and informative. That is coming up. Then I'm going to air some clips from my Dallas speech, which is now up in high res at prisonplanet.tv. I won't miss you, good old George Strait. By the way, coming up in the next hour, we're going to have Syrian girl from an undisclosed location joining us. And she is Syrian, breaking down her perspective on what's happening over there. In fact, we'll put her on screen here for just a moment if people are watching on prisonplanet.tv. And just so folks can see her there, we'll be going to her again at the start of the next hour. So there she is on screen. We'll be talking to her here in about 5 minutes. Okay, some of the other news that we've got here, obviously, that needs to be covered. In a new Ohio poll, Ron Paul most competitive against Obama. There's literally hundreds of major polls now in the last year that show him beating Obama better than any other candidate. But does the GOP leadership want that? No, they want to go around blocking Ron Paul everywhere because he's the only person that's a real candidate on the Republican ticket who is not completely insane like they are. Also, Paul Watson's got a report coming out any time. In fact, let me hit refresh on Infowars.com and see what's going on there. No, it's not up yet. He's going to have a report very, very soon on all over the United States. They have military at public events, including Austin, directing everybody. Just total acclamation for martial law. Some of the other articles at Infowars.com, H.R. 347, another step in the elimination of the First Amendment. NATO invasion of Syria set for this month. Paul Joseph Watson, big article. But it's not an invasion. It's a peace mission like Libya. That's all part of the Orwellian nature. And if you question that admitted lie, that no, that's a war, it's not peace, they're like, shut up, conspiracy theorist. Questioning anything we say is evil. Obama's second term odds spur rush of gun buying. Record gun sales, and people say, we don't trust the president, we think he's a criminal, in major studies. And they say they're worried about collapse. Again, globalist, we've been there warning people, you're not going to get the jump on us. Don't try to start a civil war. The police and military are going to join us. I can guarantee you the military is. 70%+ give their money to Ron Paul and the military. They give money. Well, then that's got the system worried. You may be able to steal the election from Ron Paul, and I told folks that was going to happen. You still got to support him because he gets the word out. But he is the real nominee. Continuing, Afghanistan failed war from a false empire. Holder to justify killing Americans on foreign soil. And we have that other big report here. U.S. court approves warrantless searches of your cell phones when the cops pull you over. So that's some of the crazy news on that front. I may have to suspend this because I don't have the money to hire more shipping people. We got like 600 orders over the weekend for the 100 InfoWars business cards, two bumper stickers, and a citizen rule book for one penny. All you pay is the $4.95 for shipping, and that is the shipping cost, is $4.95. Because, I mean, at this rate, they can only ship about 300, 400 orders a day. It's going to cause a problem. But I'm going to keep it up there for a little bit longer and then maybe increase the price just a little bit because I can't even... I'll lose even more money if I hire more people and then try to ship it out. It's one thing to give stuff out at cost, but I can't lose money or we won't be here. And we got a bunch of deals on the website. I'm leaving up one more day and then it is going. All my films for $99 plus Jason Burmes' film, normally $380. So that's a 70%+ discount and that will end tonight just because they're overwhelmed back there. And they said, do we have to change it now? We promised it'll be gone tomorrow. So they got to put a new special up when that's gone. It's going to go up to like $165 for all of them tomorrow. Still a great deal. So InfoWars.com, refuel our tanks in the InfoWar. InfoWars.com, bunch of specials up there. We got bumper sticker specials at cost as well. We've got the spray paint stencils, the spray paint legal and lawful areas like your own property with InfoWars.com. You can also call 888-253-3139 to talk to our crew and order that way. 888-253-3139. Back in 60 seconds with Syrian Girl on Syria. Stay with us.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're joined for the next 30 minutes by a young lady. It goes by the name Syrian Girl. And, of course, when we ended up getting her contact info, because I've seen her on a couple different YouTube channels speaking out very eloquently, I thought, I bet she's a listener. And sure enough, she is. And we're honored to have her for the next 30 minutes joining us here on the radio. And, of course, people can watch her if they're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. She comes just from an undisclosed location for her safety. The West is funding the attempted overthrow of Assad. Not saying he's a wonderful guy. The point is they're trying to use al-Qaeda and others, LCIA, to do this. And Syrian Girl joins us to go over this. This is a short segment, as you know, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you believe, you know, having a family in Syria, what the real score is, what's really happening there, because obviously it's another proxy war, just like Libya. But what's your view on the whole situation as a Syrian?
Well, that's exactly right. It's a proxy war being waged by NATO, the Arab countries, spearheaded by Qatar, which has the biggest U.S. military base in the region right there. And they control Al Jazeera. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that satellite news channel, but it was in the media a lot during the Iraq War, and it was proposed as a anti-U.S. media station. And it was, you know, so much hoo-ha about how evil Al Jazeera is, but in actual fact, it was controlled by the U.S. all along, you know, their allies. And this Al Jazeera is currently the driving force, the media driving force behind all of these foreign-fueled insurgencies that is being referred to as the Arab Spring.
Well, I have to concur with that. I mean, it's so clear whenever I'm watching CNN with Anderson Cooper, the same guy that cheered the overthrow of their old puppet in Egypt and then, you know, cheered the humanitarian bombing and tens of thousands killed against Libya, to see him cutting to this, you know, particular, you know, young man reporter who's there, who one day is speaking in a, yes, I am in Syria, and then the next day he has a British accent. I mean, clearly it's actors giving us, you know, babies being killed out of incubators, you know, Libyan rape gangs raping the women. Turned out that was a lie. I mean, it's clear, dumbed down war propaganda. What is it like for you, you know, being Syrian, watching all this unfold?
It's quite infuriating, but from a very young age, you know, when the Iraq War was starting and what happened in Libya, I always knew that one day Syria's turn would come. So in some ways, I'm quite prepared for it. But the drive to act is still there. You know, it's really upsetting when your family is there and their living conditions is getting worse and worse. And, you know, you'd like to go there and see them, but because of the current situation with your, you know, bombings happening and insurgents running around, it makes it difficult, to say the least. So from a personal position, it's both infuriating and saddening.
Well, now, as you know, NATO and others are talking about starting a humanitarian blockade and air campaign. We saw how humanitarian Libya was. When we come back, I want to expand on this, ask you what your family thinks of what's going on, and the, you know, the future of Syria, because they've wrecked Libya. It's now a hellhole from being the jewel of Africa with development, and that's what the banksters want. They want to destroy countries so they can come in and take them over. And I want to get your view on what the average Syrian you talk to's real perspective is on President Assad. It's all coming up with Syrian Girl. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is Monday, the 5th day of March, 2012. Going to have a big nightly news tonight and a little surprise interview with Dave Mustaine here in studio with us. But I'm going to leave that as a surprise. Dave Mustaine here in town. It's really cool. It's interesting. Get up in the morning and Dave Mustaine's, you know, drinking coffee in your kitchen. It's pretty cool. I'm not name dropping. It's just really interesting. Of all the famous people I know, he's got to be one of the most interesting. Really an amazing guy in person, in private. But I'm going to try in the interview to get him to talk about, you know, some of the things. You can see the real Dave Mustaine. Really interesting. Obviously a very talented person. I think number one hard rock metal guitarist of all time. And he's in the top 10 guitarists, period. According to Rolling Stone and others, he certainly is amazing. And, of course, his wife is so sweet and intelligent as well, great Christian people. We're joined by a woman who goes by the name of Syrian Girl. And I've seen her videos on YouTube where she's been interviewed by some other journalists and people. And she wants to be private and where she's at private, but she's 100% Syrian and, you know, has family that she can report on what's happening. But she does want to be private, so that'll just pique everybody's interest exactly who she is. But she'll go by Syrian Girl. And she joins us now. Recap the point you make about Al Caeda. I just had Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who ran the Bin Laden program trying to kill him, who was blocked from killing him, pointing out that Anwar al-Awlaki, who's run all the big terror attacks in the U.S., is really a Pentagon double agent, White House agent. Now, that's Colonel Schaefer. You'd think that'd be big news. So break down your view, what's happening, break down the view in Syria of what people think of Al-Qaeda.
Okay, so in Syria, everybody knows that Al-Qaeda is the CIA. Like, it's really, really common knowledge, you know. You can ask any kid on the street and he'll tell you that. So it's not really like what you just said, though I haven't heard about it. It doesn't surprise me at all, because there's just so much information out there already of people that turned out to be double agents that, you know, were captured and supposed to be part of Al-Qaeda. So
yeah, go over that, because I've seen you. You have a great knowledge of it, the history of it, some of the examples of proving it's Al-Qaeda.
First of all, you have the one of the Libyan rebel leaders. Turns out he was tortured in Guantanamo Bay, and he's part of Al-Qaeda. And we all know that NATO and the U.S., you know, they supported the Libyan rebels. So they're you know, one of the big signs now, which is what I mentioned in my video, is that they're actually working with Al-Qaeda in these countries that we are seeing insurgency. So Libya was one of them. And in Syria, also, there are videos now coming out of some of the protesters and some of the people in the so-called Free Syrian Army, which is what the insurgents, the name they give themselves, carrying Al-Qaeda flags. And these are, like, widely available on YouTube. You can just search for it and it's there. If I can go on, another big indicator would be Al Jazeera, who's, since the very beginning, was the only station that was able to get video of Osama bin Laden giving speeches, and was the only one that was able to play them, well, or desired to play them. And, you know, whenever we heard about Al-Qaeda, it was always from Al Jazeera. You know, they're here, they're there. It was the thing that was promoting them. And who controls Al Jazeera? Well, Qatar, you know, because it's Qatar's state TV.
Who is sending special forces everywhere to try to overthrow Libya, you name it, bringing in Al-Qaeda. And I mean, as you're pointing out, that's why Gaddafi knew to try to jam Al Jazeera, because they were beaming in pro-war stuff. It's so obvious.
Yeah, it's very obvious. And it was obvious from the very, very beginning, like 8 years ago, or maybe it was more than 8 years ago, when Al Jazeera even started. You could tell by the way they reported things.
It's total British intelligence, the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Either U.S. or British.
Israeli.
You know, it doesn't really matter, because they're all one entity working, you know, together. Israel and the country Qatar, they're allies with the U.S., you know, they control each other. So it's like one big monster.
That's right. Continuing with Al-Qaeda examples from the Syrian perspective.
You know, it's, you, when you're on the spot, it's difficult to think of them. There's just so many. I'd like to, this is maybe not an Al-Qaeda example, but it's a very important example of false flag operations. I'm not sure if anybody remembers, but in Iraq, in Basra, two British soldiers, like special forces soldiers, were captured dressed up as Arabs, shooting at Iraqi police, which was by then under the control of the occupation. And they were dressed in black to mimic sort of like the Mehdi army. And their car was filled with explosives. And this was all over the news. And the British army were, you know, the British leadership were so panicked about it that they sent the army in to destroy and level the entire police station. This is a police station that was allied with them to get these men out. And they did. But you can imagine what they knew and what they were doing, dressed up as Arabs, attacking their supposed allies. So,
well, you're right. In fact, while you're talking, I just typed British soldiers captured in Basra, and it's Global Research, London Independent, BBC, and it's them with their fake Wahhabist beards running around reportedly shooting at soldiers as a pretext to get Shiites and Sunnis killing each other. And that's the goal, as Colonel Schaefer said last hour, is to get a Sunni-Shiite war going. Here it is. SAS defied MOD to rescue two of its men held hostage in Iraq. And here's the image of them with their fake beards and all the rest of it captured. And then there's the flaming tank image of the tanks attacking the police station, which was holding the men that had been captured. And there's the photos, the video that they took on some of these sites. It's the images of them with the fake beards. We'll find it and show it to people. But yes, that was a great example. And I even had former top CIA analyst Ray McGovern on, Syrian Girl, at the time. And he pointed out examples where it was confirmed that the Golden Mosque was blown up by Western forces to get the people killing each other. Can you break down that Sunni-Shiite rivalry that the West likes to manipulate?
Sure thing. It's just, you know, divide and conquer. It's just like the old war game, you know, applied to Shias and Sunnis. I mean, you can apply the same thing to Catholics and Protestants. So at the moment, you know, Iran and Lebanon has a Shia-like population, and they form an alliance with Syria, and they could, you know, they have Hezbollah, which is directly opposing Israel. So on the one hand, they are enemies of the Shia. And then you have the Palestinians, who are Sunni, who are also fighting Israel. So on the other hand, they're against, the Israelis are against the Sunnis as well. So in Iraq, the Americans allied themselves with a lot of the Shia, although there were a lot of Sunni collaborators as well. That should be noted. But they wanted to get the Shia in power over the Sunnis because it was beneficial for them. It was a way in. And they got muscled out by the Iranians, but that's another story. But around the Middle East, it is mostly the Sunni majority countries, which are in the Gulf Arab region and in North Africa, not the Levant region where we're from, but mostly they are allied with them. So,
hold on just a moment. Your Skype from on the other side of the planet is breaking up. We're going to wait while that gets a little bit better, or perhaps reconnect with you. Let's see if your Skype came back now. Please repeat what you were saying.
Oh, I was saying that the Al-Qaeda, it's purported to be a Sunni organization, but not exactly Sunni. It's something worse, like more extreme, called Salafi, and or Wahhabi is another extreme sect that they're very similar. So at the same time, the majority Sunni theocratic countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the Gulf Arab states are actually allies with the U.S. So it's a really complicated mess. But when whatever country, the U.S. doesn't care which side it plays, whether it plays Shias and gives them power against Sunnis or gives Sunnis power against Shia, at the end of the day, they want to divide everybody and get everybody fighting. And I think sometimes they're succeeding, but not in all cases.
By the way, I did find the BBC article, Iraq probe into soldier incident, and it's got them with the guns, hand grenades, fake wigs, out reportedly attacking Basra police. And there was other cases of U.S. forces being attacked by guys dressed up in bin Laden outfits. This is full-spectrum dominance. You've got to manufacture the war so people really believe al-Qaeda exists. And if you got to dress up special forces to get the job done and attack the Shiites to get them killing Sunnis, well, by golly, you do it. And just incredible. And then the Iraqis were holding them. This is our supposed allies saying, look, they were attacking. We're going to have a trial. So they just had the British troops attack the base, kill a bunch of Iraqi troops that were trained by the British to get them out of there. We'll be right back. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv are the websites. Syrian girl joins us. Syrian girl, what is the feeling of people in Syria? I mean, are they? I mean, this is an invasion. This is proxy armies, Arab fighters, the ones that were in Libya being brought in to invade your country. This is part of the proxy wars. They admit that they've got military paid off defecting over to try to overthrow the country. And then I guess bring these purges in. They're saying they're going to kill minority groups of Muslims that are part of smaller sects. They're also saying they're going to force the Christians out of Syria. How do you think the West is going to be able to sell this to the public when they do what they've done in your country, the same thing they've done in Libya?
Our people are not going to buy it because our people have a very long memory. And we remember what happened and we won't forget what they're doing now. So, you know, I don't need to tell you that they're not buying it because you can see it yourself. You know, it's been 12 months now. There haven't been any mass, you know, rallies. There haven't been any support for this foreign armed, funded, and even oftentimes the men themselves are foreign. There's just no support for it. So, you know, this has nothing to do with whether or not they agree with the government or not. People who oppose the government know what's going on. So I don't see them selling it to Syrians at all. For me, I can't see them having any way forward unless they attack, unless they do as they're saying, which is to get NATO and have a no-fly zone or an invasion. And how are they going to do that when Russia is not going to let them? I don't see a way forward for them.
Continue.
Okay. In terms of Syrians and how we feel, we're both afraid and excited. I know that once the war starts, I know where I'm going to be. And, you know, we're ready to defend our land to the end. And we think that Israel better not think that it's going to be left out of that global war. It's going to be directly in the line of fire. If Syria is going, then so are they. Our enemies are numerous, but we also have some very good friends. So Syria is not going down without a fight. That's what I'd like to be known.
What about the Russian fleet that's docked there at your port? What about the fact that Russia says, they vetoed the UN attack, and so now they're saying, well, we'll go ahead, and now the UN's saying they'll go ahead and get behind it and not even follow the rules. I mean, this is crazy, a major escalation.
You mean NATO, yeah?
Yes.
I think that Russia, Syria is a red line. And that's because their base in Tartus, their naval base, is one of their last positions in the Middle East, and their last defense against Europe and Turkey's missile defense treaty. So for Russia, it's very important to maintain their relationship with Syria and not have Syria be taken over, yet, you know, be another one to fall to the U.S. and NATO's sphere of influence. So if Russia's not going to back down, and if they're going to disobey the rules, the only foreseeable conclusion to that would be World War III. I certainly don't doubt that they're prepared for it and that they will do it. You know, whether nuclear bombs are involved, I don't know. That might...
Well, remember, it was an Israeli prime minister that tried to make a deal with Syria, a peace treaty, and he got murdered. And there's a lot of interests that don't want peace. But undoubtedly, you can say what you want about Assad. The West is sending in al-Qaeda and others to overthrow the country and calling them protesters when they are the ones starting it and shooting people. And they and the West isn't doing this to try to bring more freedom to Syria. They want to destabilize it. What percentage of the Syrians, would you say, on average, are supporting the government now? I saw some numbers that even though, well, tell you what, let's do a few more minutes after the break, then we'll get to some excerpts of my speech in Dallas, because this is so important. And so I want to ask you that question, Syrian girl, after the break. I know you're private and are just doing this because you don't want your country to be attacked. It's already being attacked by proxies. You don't want to say who you are or how folks can contact you, but think about that if you want to give out any contact info or email to people that might want to talk to you when we come back on the other side. Because InfoWars certainly doesn't want to hoard you to ourselves here. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's 12 noon to 3 Eastern. Back Sundays, 4 to 6. Weeknights, InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central at InfoWarsNews.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Thank you for joining us. We're doing 4 or 5 more minutes with Syrian Girl. Obviously, want to have her back up in the near future. She's very informed, very articulate. And we're also going to try to get some other guests on, journalists who've been going to Syria, just like we did with what happened in Libya. Tarpley went over to Syria a while back. And we're going to get him back on about that. But undoubtedly, this is a proxy war. And what is your view of Assad? I mean, again, how popular is he really? And what do you expect to happen if the proxy war continues, if the love bomb bombardment, the trendy, illegal peace bombing begins? By NATO, I mean, now saying they can't even get the UN resolution, so just go ahead. I mean, first Obama said, I'll attack Libya with a UN resolution, not Congress. Now they can't even get the UN. I mean, this is so lawless. This is preemptive war through proxies. Imagine a foreign country coming and stirring up groups to attack us over the border and then calling them freedom fighters and then calling it protest when people are militarily attacking.
Well, first of all, I want to say the road to hell is paved in good intentions. And the most annoying people are the ones that think that they're helping us out by supporting these insurgents that are bombing, forcing people from their homes. As far as my opinion on the government, I will get to it. But more importantly, I want to discuss, Syria as a whole.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left. I'm giving you the floor then. Syria as a whole and then Assad. Any other points you want to make? Because this is, riveting information.
Okay, thank you. Syria as a whole. How can I tell you statistics, percentages? I can't. I can only tell you that the vast majority of the country, in spite of how they feel about the government, do not want this NATO-led insurgency to take over, because not only are they going to be puppets of the West, not only are they going to destroy the country in the process of doing so, they're also not democratic. They are a theocratic, sectarian Islamic movement that want to control and destroy our secular way of life. And Syrians do not agree with this. You can see that by the way that they're acting. I can tell you that, you know, the majority of Syrians went out and voted for our new constitution, which opens up the way for new political parties and for future elections. So the majority of people are for the reform process, and the new constitution is already in place. You can split Syria up into three, I guess. There are people who support Bashar. They think that he is our, you know, savior. He's going to deliver us from this, that are, you know, have been core Ba'athists, which is the ideology of the party from the beginning. And there's people who are newly, you know, supporting Bashar because they want him to make the reform process happen. Then there's people who oppose the government because of corruption and things that have happened in the past, and they also not going to side with Israel, our enemies, nor NATO. And then, okay, this is four, not three, so maybe I can't count. But finally, there's a minority of people who have been sold the lie, just like the Iraqi collaborators were sold the lie that the U.S. is this liberator, you know, it's fantastic, they're so humanitarian, they're going to come and save everybody. And, you know, this is the way to get power and the way to get freedom, whatever that, you know, means to them, is by allying with the U.S. Now, I think that is such naivety and opportunism, and it's just disgusting to the core. And I cannot call these people Syrian. So if you want, by my definition of what is Syrian, 100% of us oppose NATO and this attack against our country.
Well, that's right. It's going to be, I mean, look, Iran, 70%+ don't like the mullahs, but every analyst says an attack on Iran will unify the entire population behind the mullahs. That's how people work. And now that your country's clearly being attacked with proxy armies, NATO's saying we're going to drop bombs on you because it's humanitarian. You know, when we give weapons to people blowing up buildings, they're peaceful protesters. When the government fights it, they're evil. Al-Qaeda's good. Syria's bad. I mean, all of this is so ridiculous that it's going to unify Syria. I mean, I don't need to be Syrian to know that.
I just wanted to say, in answer to your question earlier about how people might contact me, I have a Twitter. The name is Partisan Girl. And, of course, they might have seen other interviews I've done on YouTube channel 108 Morris 108.
Okay. And again, give us the Twitter. It's twitter.com/...
Partisan Girl, no spaces.
Partisan Girl. That's yeah. Awesome. And we'll send a link up to my Twitter, the Real Alex Jones, twitter.com/Real Alex Jones. So that's good. Thanks. For people to be able to contact you there. And hopefully things don't continue to unfold in Syria in a bad, but it looks like that is going to happen. So I'd like to be able to have you pop in and give your perspective as this unfolds.
Anytime.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add in about 60 seconds?
About Bashar,
yes,
Assad,
yes.
His father, you know, he might have been whatever you might want to call what happened. You know, people have different opinions, but Bashar from the beginning has been more of a reformer. However, there's an old guard in Syria that have prevented him from undertaking much of the reforms that he wanted to make, but at least now, with the support of the people, hopefully the reform process is going to happen.
What is your personal... So you see overall, he's been a reformer trying to change an old system. And certainly, you know, it's not going to get better. Look at Egypt. It's gotten 10 times worse. And they've got women having to wear the headdresses and everything now since it was liberated. And it's just incredible. All right. Well, Syrian girl, thank you for having the courage to speak out. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Well, you're going to be hearing more from her now that she's been on our show. A very interesting perspective, and that's what we try to bring you is different angles, different perspectives to really give you a real analysis of what's happening so you can make decisions for yourself. Now, this is an hour and a half long, and it's up at prisonplanet.tv, but people have been asking for me to air part of the speech I did in Dallas and the one in Orlando. And again, as I told everybody, as I announced months ago, I was just going to Dallas and Houston to beta test a speaking tour. Everything's falling apart, but I do intend continue it sometime in the summer to do an even bigger one out west. It was really great meeting with everybody. I want to thank all of you for coming out. Just amazing to see all the fellow freedom lovers. Of course, I thank everybody in this intro video, so might as well not thank you now up front. So we're going to play about 10 minutes of this, go to break, and come back and finish up the show with some more. But the whole thing is at prisonplanet.tv. And, of course, we'll be back tonight, InfoWars Nightly News, with a special transmission, 7 o'clock Central. But here is part of the Dallas speech on February 19th. Here it is.
I know the gentleman that you guys are here for, the Mario Andretti, The Rock, all rolled into one. It's time for Alex Jones!
Now, look at all these articles and documents and notes I've got. Hell, I got to do a good job with all you great people out here. You know, like I said earlier when I introduced that documentary we just showed, I am humbled by meeting you. I'm humbled by talking to you. And I know that it's in people like you that we're going to turn this around. Because we don't have a choice. How many times have we been lied to? How many times have we caught the system doing everything it can, not just to rob us, but to try to ruin our lives so that we're weak and poor and dominated by them so they can control our destiny? I don't like that. I want to see humanity doing well. I want to see humanity empowered. You know, my dad's a dentist, and at least once a year for more than 20 years, he's gone to Latin America to be part of these free clinics for these different doctors' organizations to take care of kids. And he's told me the same stories that my uncle told me, who did years of work as a missionary in Central and South America. And he said, you know, you don't appreciate life, even though my uncle was in Vietnam, a helicopter pilot, until you see children at orphanages where the orphanages don't even have the money to pay for food. And there's little kids with their rib cages sticking out. That's what we're talking about. You have to realize, I have to realize, and really let it burn into our brains that more than 15 million children, according to the UN and their own numbers, it's probably higher, 15 million children a year starve to death on this planet. And another 20 million adults. And our corrupt, stinking, corporate, fascist government pays farmers not to produce food. And it's not just that they're trying to protect our markets. Then you find out that they've got all these endless white papers, as many as you could ever read. Every day, Aaron Dyke's doing research, and others of my crew bring in. This is on the Rockefeller Foundation. This is on the Carnegie Foundation. This is on the Ford Foundation. Here's a Planned Parenthood document. Oh, where is it? It's on, you know, this university site archive talking about how in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, we got to shut food off to people to kill them. And then some people say, well, there are too many people. I love the yuppies. That'll say, well, okay, there is a population control agenda, but there are too many of those people. And I'm like, don't you get it, you little jackass bastard? You think you're part of the system? Your water, your food, your vaccines, it's all jacked with the same stuff, you little piece of crap. There is nothing more pathetic
than some coward who is so cowardly they play like a little dress-up game in their mind, a little make-believe game in their mind, that they're part of the winning team because they go along with all this, that it's like some kind of open joke, like it's some type of game. I've had so-called establishment types. It's always somebody who's worth like $50 million and thinks they're part of the elite when that ain't even middle class for the globalist, who'll come up to me and say, well, Alex, you know, maybe 9/11 is an inside job, but, you know, it takes things like that to get the people doing what they're supposed to. Like this sack of garbage thinks they're part of the system because they can understand false flag terror and understand that's what it takes to defend America. No. If they did evil things like that to defeat evil, it'd be evil, because you can't become evil to defeat evil, like the ring of Sauron in Lord of the Rings. Doesn't work that way. But they're not using evil to defeat evil. They're not even following that fallacy. They have given themselves totally over to it. The globalists compete with each other to see who is the most wicked and ruthless. And in that process, have become total madmen, as I documented in this earlier presentation that you saw. And that was only the tip of the iceberg. Our problem in compiling that 40 minutes was that there was so much we didn't get to, so much that we couldn't cover, so much that we couldn't show you how much crisis this world is in. Now, with that said, I've given you the blueprint of madmen. I want to give you the blueprint to defeat the New World Order. This world's engineers, the controllers of this planet, always seek to teach you that resources are finite. They always seek to teach you that for you to win, somebody else has got to lose. They know full well that's not how this world works, that we have unlimited potential, that we're made in the image of the Creator. Whether you believe in that or not, humankind has given us Beethoven, literature. They've given us all of the science, all of the beauty. They've given us people like Whitney Houston's voice, all the things that are in humanity, all the good. And it's by recognizing that good and that potential and by reaching for what's good and empowers us that we have hope for the future. Our ancestors, and God knows they weren't perfect, understood sacrifice and standing up for what's right. And that's the only reason we're here today. Why do you think the United States, such a small area geographically for the land surface of this planet, and only 4.5% of the world's population, 100%, 7 million, the United States is 4.5%. Or 4.9, depending on which actuary you look at, but less than 5% of the world's population. Why did the United States, with less than 5% of the world's population, have more than half the wealth of the world? Freedom. And it doesn't mean that our higher level of freedom was perfect. Doesn't mean that there wasn't injustice. Didn't mean that there weren't problems. But compared to every other place in the world, we didn't have the corrupt elites on top of us trying to shut down human destiny, shut down human ingenuity and creativity because they're threatened by it, because they want a monopoly. Because the United States only had a few glimmers and moments of freedom, we developed the highest test scores. We developed the most scientific developments. We created the media and the literature and the art and the music that has conquered the world. And the globalists, the global scientific engineers saw that. They were aware of that. They knew that. And so they did everything they could to take that over and to take our energies and turn it against humanity. So now America is in a paradox. America, right here at this center place where we live, make no mistake, is where the battle will be fought. It's where the decisions will be made. We are the great evil empire, but we are also the great deliverer from the tyranny. But we have to decide who we are. That's why the struggle between good and evil is being decided here. Because we have the birthright of liberty, because we have the basic freedom, because we are armed like no other nation on earth, the globalists have not taken this republic. All right, I've never been able to do this on the radio. I can never get to the second point without going off into rants. It may be a bad speech, it may be the best ever, but I'm going to attempt, with your help, to go through all these points.
And we are back on this InfoWars.com transmission with more from Alex's speech in Dallas, Texas. Of course, it's more than an hour and a half long, so you have to hear the majority of it for yourself. It's up at PrisonPlanet.tv and our YouTube channels. And if you think this speech is powerful, wait till you hear the one he gave in Orlando. Enjoy, and we'll be back tomorrow.
All right, I'll start at the top. Again, I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank my crew, but I also want to thank all of you. I love that Teddy Roosevelt quote. I should have had it here so I could quote it properly, but forget the critic, the person who's not in the arena. What matters is the person who is in the arena, who knows the great challenges, the great struggles. Because even if you fail, at least you tried to dare greatly. That's what matters. It's trying. That's where it all starts, is taking action. That's what's fulfilling. And I want to say this to you here now, because I was told several times last week and again today that I am the 21st century Paul Revere. And I said, no, you are the 21st century Paul Revere. This is not a battle. This is not a war against the undefeated British Imperial Redcoats who'd never been defeated. And George Washington lost almost every battle for 5 years, but they persevered. It was the continuing to fight. It was the resistance that was the victory. And that's why the system attacks that victory, because it hates it. Anything the New World Order attacks, you better believe that's where the liberty is. That's where the freedom is. That's what's good. Not because it's perfect, but like King David of the Bible, the heart is right. That's what matters. None of us are perfect. And the system will try to tell us how we're bad and how we're impure and how we're not good. None of that matters. It's our hearts that matter. It's what we stand for. It's who we are in the final equation that matters. Do we serve light or do we serve the murdering, destructive darkness? That's the question that you must decide, and it's a decision you must make. The system tells you there's not that decision, because that decision is there, and that decision is where all the power in this universe resides. As Martin Luther King said, the universe bends towards justice. Providence is on the side of justice. The minute, the second you commit yourself to liberty and freedom and justice, even your body be killed, your spirit truly has victory. So I say it to you now. We are all Paul Revere. And we're not just fighting for freedom in North America. This is 1776 worldwide. Our republic's wealth and everything it is and all of its challenges has now been teamed up, pulling the globalist system of enslavement and war and death. We are now in bondage to pure evil. Our energies and everything our ancestors built is now slave to this evil. And we must break the chains of slavery. We must break them now. We must declare liberty. Those are just the notes up here on the top of the page. Because, I mean, I'm sitting there writing key points I want to cover and just thinking, I'm not worthy to bring you this message. But it doesn't matter, because it's a mission we must all carry out. And what matters is that we give 110%.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.